minutes here now. If we do, I'll probably interrupt. If somebody comes up, I'll just interrupt to let them know what our kind of procedure is. These are sort of our meetings. We're welcome to have folks come and listen, but we're not taking public comment at these meetings. And just a little bit of timing for this evening. We have been talking, the consultants, Mary and I. Some of these meetings may need to stretch to 9:30 just so we can make sure we get all of our work done. I will go no further than 9:30, I promise. But this evening in particular, we're going to try to be as efficient as we can. Both the consultant team and Mary need to get to Springfield this evening for a large planning conference that kicks off tomorrow evening, and they're heading into the teeth of the rain and wind and all that kind of thing. So the sooner that we can get them
on
the road, so we'll
Thank
try
you.
To
we appreciate that.
Work diligently and be done by 9 o'clock at the latest. Thank you, everybody, that was able to come to the core assessment meetings that were held last week and then a couple prior. I think from the feedback that they've been very positive and kind of productive, informative sessions for the team. Last one is on Monday evening from 5 to 7, focused on public facilities, which is broadly, it's going to be a largely staff-driven discussion, but not exclusively, so if anybody is interested or able to join us, please do. We'll get into the community engagement plan in a moment, but Judy and I were just chatting in preparation for the meeting. I'm hoping she can just kind of walk through a little bit. She did, I think, a terrific overview last month on what the master plan is and the elements of it, but I wanted to just kind of walk through kind of the trajectory for all of us, what the committee's kind of role is and how it evolves and builds on itself. So you all have a sense on kind of where we're going and what the kind of timing is between now and probably the spring.
Sure. Happy to. So I was hoping to bring a printout of this evening, but we had a lockdown in Plymouth at my office today, and a schedule was not going to be completed, but I can tell you what it is.
Well, especially if you tell them the reason for the lockdown.
Well, that was an active
show. Yeah, right.
It was a mess. Yeah, sorry.
It wasn't a parade.
It just sort of went over my head. So really this fall is about participation, kind of community engagement and kicking that off. So that's why we have the community engagement sessions in November, which Daphne's going to talk about in a little bit. But you also, as soon as we have the materials printed with the logo and so forth on them, you're going to each have an opportunity to engage your own circle of friends, your own folks that you interact with in your community life or public life at the town hall or whatever, to participate in smaller group discussions. And when Daphne finishes talking about the November community engagement sessions, I'm going to talk about, quote, meeting in the box. And I will have a handout and I can show you what that's going to be. But really, this is all about engagement this fall. So we have the two community meetings in November. December, we won't be here, but you probably will want to meet and perhaps do a debrief on the two meetings in November. Mm-hmm. When we come back in January, we will either have delivered to Mary or we may be walking in with, for Mary, what's called the inventory and assessment, which is what we're all working on right now. We're doing this fact-finding, pulling together kind of a where you are as a community and kind of how you got there, and understanding the town is really the point, because you can't really do a plan without understanding what the existing conditions are and kind of how they came to be. So while the staff are reviewing those documents for factual accuracy and just kind of what they also know about the town, we, as of the January meeting, we're going to be starting to engage you folks in some policy level discussions about each element of the plan. So, for example, in January, we might have three or four, no more than that, discussion questions on housing and on economic development. And so maybe the first hour of that meeting, we're going to try to get some input from you folks about maybe what the policy direction of those of one element would be. And then the second hour we'll spend on another element. The following month, we'll do the same thing on two different elements. So over the course of about 3 months, we're really trying to get some direction from you or some input from you about what will become the major recommendations of the plan. In February, I believe, is when we have the sort of, there are two meetings in February where we're kind of laying out the kind of major findings of the inventory and assessment and starting to try to get some public input as well on what will become the sort of the sort of strategies and recommendations of the plan. But really, that's going to come in March. Yes, right. But meanwhile, we're going to be doing these engagement sessions with you because we need direction. Obviously, you know, it's not impossible for us to do the inventory, but we don't know the town the way you do, and we don't know what the red flags might be. So we're going to be having these discussion meetings with you, and that will really be your opportunity to help shape this plan toward then eventually turning in the draft plan a little bit later in the spring, being able to vet that with you and wrap up the project June, I think is what we had said. So it's, you know, this is really an intensive time for participation, and we will come prepared to do the meetings in November, but I think there really won't be a substitute for the importance of you folks also doing your own kind of participation activities, which we will be providing a structure for. But you're going to reach people in smaller groups who may never come to a public meeting. And I can't emphasize that enough. Not everybody comes to community meetings. People ask us all the time, what's a good turnout? It's a hard question to answer. We try to sort of think about, well, are the ideas in the community represented in this room? But there are people who simply won't come, they can't come, or whatever, but you may be able to get them to come to a smaller group discussion in your own living room, and that's what we're going to encourage you to do. So I think that really the depth of the outreach goes beyond the meetings we're doing and really will involve you folks directly in a very hands-on way.
Sure.
Does that help?
So, yeah, that does. Certainly helps me. I don't know if anybody has any questions on that, both kind of sequence and process. So, you know, the real meaty stuff will start kind of in the spring. Don't give me any ideas. Can't check out until then.
Right.
That's
where the real hard work starts.
It's a time where the consultants are kind of trying to learn as much as we know about the town and get as much feedback as we can. So with that, we had talked about the bones of the community engagement plan last month, and thank you all for doing your homework so quickly to get the feedback to Daphne and Judy and Mary to distill that. Daphne, I'm going to turn it over to you. Could kind of let us know where we are with that community engagement plan, and then more importantly, the prep for the visioning sessions that we have in November. I hope they're on everybody's calendar and what we need to do.
So if you don't mind, I'd like to switch the order of those two.
Sure.
Talk about what we're going to do at the meetings and then how we're going to get people to attend. So if we have some documents to help with the discussion. So as this is coming around, I'll just introduce. So we're having two sessions. One is on a Wednesday, November 20th, and the other is on that Saturday,
23rd.
On the 23rd. So the purpose of these meetings are to invite the Hingham community to come together and generate ideas that will create a shared vision and goals for Hingham's future. This, in turn, will be used as the foundation for an action plan that will outline the steps necessary to attain this vision. So that message has to get out, that's what this is about. We're creating a vision and a set of goals. Where does Hingham want to be in the future? That's our first step. We have to determine, while we in-house are determining where you are, that inventory that Judy was just talking about, simultaneously we want to determine where you want to be. So then we can figure out the steps to get there. So basically we'll do a very short presentation, just kind of telling people what a master plan is, why bother doing one, what benefit the community gets out of it, and then to break out into small groups. The bulk of the meeting will be about the small group discussions. And all the small groups will be discussing the same questions. Then they'll come back together, do a very brief report out about each group's priorities. And we'll get more specific when we go through here. So, and on the back of the agenda, we have a question. Please tell us if you have any ideas regarding how to get more people involved in this master planning process. So perhaps we will learn something about something we haven't thought of. There may be an idea or someone wants to get involved to help us to conduct this outreach in ways that Judy was talking about or in other ways. So we'll ask people if they have that and then to hand that back to us. So let's talk a little bit about the details of the day before we get into the meeting. So the space we have on the Wednesday, it's Central, North, and South, is at both days. Okay. Furniture. What do we have for furniture?
We have
The easiest thing for us to have is a bunch of rectangular tables.
Okay.
We have some of these larger ones, but more like this.
Okay.
That we can set up for the breakout groups okay. with chairs around them.
Because we want 8 to 12 people per table, no more than 12. So that might be tight for 12, but this could definitely accommodate.
Okay.
So food. Food is really important.
It's critical.
It's important to sustain life, it's important to sustain discussion, and it's important to attract participants. So what are we going to do about food?
I'm open for suggestions. Typically for evening meetings, we'll put out beverages and kind of cookies and finger food. For the Saturday meeting, we had discussed starting at 11:30 and having a light lunch, maybe some wraps, chips, sodas, and getting into the work of the meeting at noon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open for suggestions and comments. Typically at 7 at night, people don't eat a big... You know, if I bought a bunch of wraps for a 7 o'clock meeting at night,
no.
people wouldn't eat them anyway, I don't think.
Unless you announced that it was like a community dinner. So... One way of looking at this.
I think I would say, I mean, we can work on some of these logistics, I think, offline. I think a dinner is a much more elaborate logistical and financial commitment.
It is.
So I'm inclined to try to get folks to come on the merits, you know, not for the food. So I would probably defer to
Mary's suggestion.
So we can work
offline.
I just want to underscore, it doesn't have to be a dinner, but food really matters at these things. People come, they may be coming directly from work.
From work, exactly.
And so, you know, cookies are fine. Always make sure you have fruit. I mean, just a variety of things. So
and I always say something sweet and something savory.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, for example, on Sunday, Judy and I are having a meeting in another town, and we're having a community dinner, and the high school is catering it, and it's a full meal, and it's, you know, saying come as a community, share, you know, break bread, and then talk about the future together. It's just something to think about. It might not be appropriate for this moment,
right.
but it's something to think about how to make this more of an event than just a public meeting, because we want people to feel like this is something important, attractive, fun to come to. So, think food we'll talk about later. Entertainment. In the one we're having on Sunday, the high school jazz band is coming. Just for a short while. You know, just kind of, and then those parents might want to come, and they might want to invite their neighbors because their high schooler is in the band. So different ways of attracting people. So you might want to think about what possible ways. Childcare. Usually we try to get teenagers from the high school, or if there's a babysitting club or Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, to come and provide this child care, and then we do some visioning exercises with those children.
I would ask the rec center.
Yeah.
Rec center.
Yeah,
because
so
they have a system in place already, and they probably, and that there's a good room down there, but and they have the resources to reach out to people.
Yeah, I've coordinated with Mark before on Saturday workshops, mm-hmm. and I've reached out to him about the Saturday one. I'm not sure about the weeknight one, if people would leave their younger kids more at home on the school night.
Yeah, probably less likely.
I don't think on the weeknight people are used to going to weeknight
right.
things,
right.
but the Saturday, that would be incentive for the kids of something to do too, especially
yeah.
in November.
Right. So that's good. The other thing we try to do is a raffle. So it's just another way of indicating that something else is happening. It's not just a meeting, right? So you'd be amazed at how many people find that fun. The thing is, we have to get raffle prizes. So usually a few people on the committee will go out and just ask some local businesses to say, would you like to donate to this raffle? And, of course, we give them, you know, public thanks first. And just like a $10 gift certificate, $25 gift certificate. It's not the amount. It's just that it's also part of the town. It's making them part of this discussion. So is there anyone who'd like to do that?
Actually, can I back up?
Yes.
I was just thinking about something. Does it have to Do these meetings have to be at Town Hall?
They don't have to be.
Can they be at the high school? Because the high school seems to be the place where we meet for, important things and vote and all that stuff. And it might have more, it might be more flexible in our...
I could really just have to check on custodial and availability of rooms. And if we were doing the Saturday, just talk with the rec department.
I would also challenge that the high school space, if you're doing food, you have to do it in the cafeteria.
Mm.
It's a very large room, and even if you have 20 people show up, it's going to look like it's a bad turnout.
Mm-hmm.
If you're upstairs and you have 50 people, it's going to look like it's huge, mm-hmm. and this is wonderful. And so I think Town Hall is that's an appropriate, it's a big room when you open it up, and it's appropriate, but and I think more people, Town Hall is accessible for people.
Seniors know how to get in here.
Yeah.
Families with children are comfortable. We did a Saturday program once, and we had child care at the rec,
mm-hmm.
and the parents loved it because their kids already go there.
Yeah. Right.
So it wasn't like a strange thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I'm open to direction for what you want.
We could do it at the high school. It would be appropriate, but I think this is might be better.
How much parking do we actually have? How many spaces?
I was wondering about that, too.
Usually when I show up, there isn't any space.
Here?
Yeah.
On a Saturday, they'd be awesome.
Saturday's fine. Rob's point is a good one. On a busy weeknight in this building.
Yeah, on a Wednesday night, I can check and see who else is scheduled that night, but I think Wednesday nights, typically you only have the Sewer Commission, Affordable Housing Trust. I can see who else is scheduled that night.
Would one way to do it be the high school on the Wednesday night and then the Saturday here so it has connected to the rec center?
Yeah, it really just depends on availability.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Judy, what has been your experience with participation? I mean, it strikes me as if to your point, if we have 50, I don't think that's a win. But... What I'm trying to understand is given a community of this size, what's a win for you for people?
I don't think the number is as important as the ideas that are represented in the room.
The points of view.
I mean, we had 220 people show up in Littleton for a community dinner and a master plan event. In another town, we had maybe 45, not quite as big as Hingham, but close. But when you actually asked the committee at the end of the session, were there ideas missing here? Nobody really thought there was something missing. So sometimes timing is just what affects the participation on these things. Like we're having this meeting on a Sunday, late Sunday afternoon in the town this weekend. I've never done that. But the towns kind of know what works for them. When we did Westwood, it was late morning. We had a lunch. Everybody showed up, and the place just filled up. So...
But it also depends what else is happening in the town, what other kind of planning activities are going on. Are there competing, and do people feel all planned out or meetinged out? And what the participation culture of the place is.
And this is why, though, I have to underscore that things like meeting in a box or a pop-up at the farmer's market, don't lose sight of the importance of those activities, because the same kinds of questions are going to be asked in the meeting in the box activity.
So that's going to be my question, sir.
That Daphne's going to get into sort of the questions for the public meeting, and that we're going to be giving you the same stuff. So people will have lots of opportunities to participate, even if they don't come to the official public meeting.
And sometimes after they've participated in a pop-up or in a meeting in a box, that will compel them to come to the next meeting.
Yeah.
It'll draw them into the process.
Right.
Whereas they initially didn't feel somehow attracted.
Well, generally, I would think that maybe 50 people would be a big number for this town.
You do? You feel that? 50?
5-0
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah. So, what did we get in our last exercise?
There were at least 25 or so in the core assessment.
Well, I'm thinking some years ago when we had that last group come through and try to update the plan, how many people showed up for these types of things?
We got about 80. I mean, we used both the rooms downstairs, and we had good crowds with breakout, you know, groups. During the weeknight, it's been my experience that it's typically the folks that are used to going out on weeknights to things. And when you have the weekend events, it's the people who aren't around. It's either the seniors or the people with children on the weekends, if they don't have a sports game.
We had about 100 in the last one.
But there was good participation.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to talk it out. We'll, you know, use the journal, whatever we have.
Talk it out, right, exactly. And do your own individual outreach, because it's the tally of all of those things that's going to really tell you what's the pulse of this town.
But also, if each of you do outreach to your networks for the visioning, that's really important.
I think, for what it's worth, I think in the double room, we could probably get around about 100 at tables and chairs. So if there's any way to make a guess, you know, if there's any way to kind of pull people and figure out who's coming, if it feels like it's likely to be significantly more than that, then there's an issue. But if you think we're going to kind of peak at 100, I think this
right, that,
room could come
and that would be a happiness problem, so we would figure it out
could we use the community television station? We still have that, right? Mm-hmm. I don't watch it. I go to sleep really easy. But if we can do something,
we'll try to be more compelling.
Yeah, well, that's one way. But I think if we could do one of these meetings on a TV, on the community TV, it may generate, because a lot of people do watch.
So if
we
televise the weekday one, then we're going to
get more people on the Saturday.
Possibly.
And we always televise them, because also it kind of generates more.
Because they'll hear things, if they listen carefully, that might pique their interest. And I never realized how many people actually watch the television channel for the town. I learned that from trying to convince people to vote in favor of the water company acquisition. After a lot of people came up, particularly the town company, I seem to spend a lot of weekends at the town dump. but a lot of people came up and said, boy, those meetings were really good. And that's something we need to put together.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about maybe even putting together a little cable show to get people to understand what's happening.
What's your deadline for the meeting in the box feedback? So, like, if it's after the visioning sessions, or do you want these visioning sessions to be the culmination of
that? I was thinking before Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. Mid-December, probably. You know, I mean, people can be doing them now. They could be doing them before or after the vision meetings. That's fine. I think you need to decide what works for you. But I would say, really, like, by mid-December, we need to have the information.
Yeah, but I think after the visioning sessions, there are going to be people like, oh, I wish I had gone.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly the point.
Follow up or one on one with people or whatever, then
that's why I was curious. Maybe we could collect the
feedback from meeting in a box at our December meeting, if this group has one. And if you don't, maybe that would be a good deadline anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By that third Wednesday in December.
Yeah. That's right.
Right now you're scheduled to have a committee meeting, but I defer to the will of the committee whether you meet.
We will poll the will later.
But
I think that's a good deadline, I think, for that gives us 2 months and change to be able to kind of get out there. So,
what's your experience been with meetings around the holidays, this being a week before Thanksgiving? You know,
so before Thanksgiving is good. Yeah, after Thanksgiving, not so good.
Yeah, okay.
That's
after Thanksgiving, people go into a different mode.
Yeah. Just like after end of June, you know, when school's closed. Then
yeah.
I think the weekend prior, people are still around.
Yeah.
But if you're having Christmas parties, you know, take your meeting in the box materials.
Sure.
I'm being very serious. Like, you know, take advantage of social opportunities or informal things that you're involved with on a weekend to capture people who may otherwise not be involved.
In your experience, how long are the vision meetings?
So if you see here, it's so we're doing them simultaneously.
That's right,
so
that's fine.
Let's go back to the ones that are scheduled in November,
yeah.
And then we'll talk about meeting in the box as a separate agenda item.
Exactly.
So 7 to 9:30 is the one for the Wednesday night. 2.5 hours is what we usually do, especially on a weeknight. For a weekday, we can sometimes go up to 3 hours
weekend,
if we're providing more of a meal. So that's something we need to discuss, the timing of this Saturday.
The Saturday one right now is scheduled to start at 11:30, mm-hmm. with the thought being that we would have some food out.
Yeah.
People could come in, get settled, bring their kids to the rec center, whatever, and then bring their plates and get to work.
So that would be 11:30 to 2 then. Correct? Wait, 12:30, 1:30, 3. Right?
I can wrap up when you're ready to wrap up.
Yeah. Yeah. But we want to tell people so they know,
and their lives.
Right. So let's just finish the details of that day. So transportation,
on the raffle, just I had one brainstorm that I'll riskily share. Is the football team, is the Thanksgiving Day home this year? Do we know? I don't need to put you on the spot. I just don't know.
I think it is, but
St. John's does this holiday boutique, and they do a raffle where the prize is the front pew on one of the Christmas Eve services, right? So, and it's in high demand. People go scale. Right, in order to get that, because it's such demand.
Right.
So stealing that idea to have reserved parking either at the football game, reserved parking at Christmas in the square.
That's something that we can manufacture, but it's
unique and only we can deliver it.
That's perfect.
You know, and I don't know if there's another thing like that.
Prime viewing for the 4th of July.
Nice.
What was that?
Town meeting parking spot? Oh.
What was that for the 4th of July?
One too.
Prime viewing area.
Prime viewing.
4th of July. Yeah. Right. Seat on the...
Christmas in the square brings in the families, though.
Right. Exactly. Right. You can get reserved. Right. So, I mean...
Like, those four events bring in pretty different...
Right. So, if you do the football game, 4th of July...
Christmas in the square,
and town meeting.
Ooh. And it connects them to major town activities,
right.
which
right,
sort
exactly.
of reinforces the whole...
Exactly.
Master plan idea.
That's a really great idea.
Nice idea, Chairman.
Sure. That's what that was
about. So who's going to take care of
graduation.
Of organizing
yeah,
that?
That's true. That's probably a big one, too, right?
Or any of the concerts.
Oh, yeah,
right. I mean, we could spend all of that.
You're part of my private room.
Yeah.
So who wants to take care of that? Kind of thinking that through and...
I think the game is here. Hard to read the calendar, but
yeah. Right. So we'll figure that out.
Okay.
Okay. Whoever else is inspired.
How about if people have an idea?
Yeah.
Maybe they connect to me, and I'll keep a list. And if you have an idea of something that you want me to follow up on, then you can connect to me and tell me.
So if it's parking at town meeting, for example, or the football game or something, is that a school department question?
Town meeting would be the town clerk and the police chief.
Okay.
They take over. The concerts, I mean, then we should create some kind of sign that says
yes.
the reserved
yes,
parking.
That's right.
We just move it to wherever and we
exactly.
just schedule the
right.
With our logo and byline.
Absolutely.
Here's something.
So I'll check on the town meeting one. For the school facility ones, I'm looking at Liza.
I'll put a list of
So then, transportation. Can we get the Council on Aging van to provide, if people call ahead 24 hours in advance or 48 hours or whatever it is that's necessary?
I can certainly check.
Okay.
Do you want us in scratch?
That will all depend on the turnout. So we'll get to that. First, how many committee members do we know are coming? Is anyone here not able to make it on the
20th or the
23rd?
Wednesday night the 20th, Saturday the 23rd.
Okay, so that means we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 15. So at least 14 people. Okay, so for each table, we need 2 people. We need a facilitator and we need a scribe. Now, if we have a huge turnout, then what happens is each one of you gets a table, and it may, or maybe some of you don't have a committee member to help you. The consultants will also be there to help. But let's say we have a huge turnout. That's the case in which you will have instructions that you will share with a volunteer in your group, and that volunteer will be the scribe. And then together you will facilitate the group. I mean, it seems if we're talking about 100 people, we're probably able to work it out between the committee members and the consultants. Mm-hmm. But we have to be prepared for all circumstances. So you will have very detailed instructions that will tell you step by step what to say, what to do. You don't need to know anything because this is about visioning. So you don't need to know about housing policy. You don't need to know about economic development. You don't need to know the details. So don't feel at all that you'll be out there on your own, because you won't be. It'll be all about asking other people what they think, being curious about what they think, and documenting it in a fair way, meaning giving everybody a chance. So why don't we go to...
Can I ask a question which may lead into where you want to go to? So I do a lot of focus groups, which is sometimes a very painful experience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But these tables are going to have random people. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes we would do something like this, but we would have infrastructure. We would have a table. If somebody's interested in infrastructure, come to this table. If you're interested in town economics, come to this table. If you're interested in conservation issues, come to this table. In other words, we created tables where people were interested in the subject at hand, as opposed to random questioning through the course of
expertise that the Master Plan Committee would bring to this kind of meeting to follow up on what's saying.
So we do that later in the process. Right now, we are just talking about broad brush, creating a vision and a set of goals for the future. And improving infrastructure might be one of them, but we want that to come out from the discussion, from a broader discussion. Right. Later on, we might have tables, we might have booths around specific elements, around specific goals, where we would do that.
Yeah.
But it's later on in the process. So if you see the questions, you'll see what I mean when we get to them, that it's really about very broad brush. So why don't we go through what this role of the facilitator is and then get to what it is that you'll be doing. So if you see here, basically your role is threefold. It's to manage the discussion, and you'll have, like I said, very specific instructions to help the group come up with a summary and then to write up the notes. So basically you're managing a discussion that makes sure you don't let anybody dominate, you give everybody who wants a turn, and you try to encourage people to not disagree with each other. We'll have ground rules for the discussion. Everybody has to respect one another. And you have to be very careful about, some people may go on and on and on, so you literally might use your body. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
It's true. They wrote that down.
It works. It works.
Right? Yes. And make a little box in the corner. And anything that anybody says that might not be, extremely relevant, you still write it down. But it's, some people call it a parking lot.
Right.
In the upper right-hand corner, make a box. So people feel listened to. Because it actually may have some relevance in some way. And even if it's a misperception, we need to know that. We need to know that people, very often, for example, people will say, we don't have any tennis courts in this town. But in fact, you do. Well, it's important that we know that people don't think or know that, because that might, one of the recommendations might be, you need to get the word out there for, Department of Recreation. I'm just using that as an example. So everything that people say is important. but also people need to feel respected. They've come, they've taken the time, to think about something and to respond, so write it down. Now, if there's someone who's not sharing, you also need to be more encouraging and without being forceful, without insisting. You haven't said anything all night. No, you have to answer this question. No, you can't do that. But you can come back around. You know, oh, you can't think of anything right now? That's okay. But then don't forget to go back. Because that person most likely is on the shy side and needs additional encouragement. So, as I said, there'll be ground rules. You'll have instructions. And really, it's about being respectful and curious. What do people have to say? You can't disagree. You can't show that, oh, that idea really isn't that good. No, you can't show that. It's about being curious. What does that gentleman think Hingham should do? Wonder why. Why do you think that, sir? And being, very documenting it all and being very clear about, if you don't understand what someone has said, ask them to repeat it, or to explain it, or rephrase it and say, did I get that right? Make sure that if you've rephrased something, that you've asked someone for permission to do so.
What is your opinion of recording the session at your table?
I'm sorry?
What is the opinion of recording the session at your table?
The opinion?
Your opinion of whether we could record any conversation.
So what happens is I think that... unfortunately, that inhibits people.
It really does.
Well, they don't have to know.
They do. They do have to know.
Which is also, that will be a trust buster if people find out that they were being recorded and they weren't told.
It's also when we have the cable TV there, we ask them to do the intro and the conclusion, and then just to go and sample the small, don't stay for a long time at one table, because that will inhibit the discussion also. Right. So we ask them to move around.
So how do you make sure that all relevant comments get properly recorded?
So there's a scribe, and hopefully it will be one of you, because you will care more than a random person, you know, that's participating. And so make sure that whatever is being said is recorded. And then it gets typed up. Now, the reason that you are typing it up and not giving us the large post-it sheets is because you were there and you heard it. And there may be words that need to be added for us to get the full understanding. Or there may be something you want to tell us about the context in which that was said. So if we just get the sheets... Yeah. We won't get that. When you write it down, because you were there, you heard it.
And we may not be able to reach in handwriting either.
That's another very good point. So it's really about being a big, good listener, using humor, especially if someone's dominating. You know, you gotta just make sure you, without being too aggressive. And again, you know, reflecting back and not showing your opinions. So if you move to the discussions questions, you'll see that it's really very, very straightforward and simple. But in the end, it results in meaningful input.
Correct.
So question, I just noticed that the numbering system is off, but that's...
Oh, sorry about
yeah,
that.
That's
so
okay.
There's six questions.
There are five questions. How did that...
I don't
know.
It's
there are five questions. Somehow the numbering, sorry about that. And this is just a draft. You'll get a full set of instructions. So the first question, what are your favorite things about Hingham? Simple as that. So everyone can respond to that. Everyone has something to say about that. If they need additional prompts, you just say, what do you like most about living here? In other words, what do you want to be sure is preserved in the future? Because part of the master planning process, right, is identifying what should be preserved and enhanced, and what should be changed and or improved. And what a third thing is what should be introduced that's missing. Mm-hmm. So that's really what it's about. So we're asking people, what is one of your favorite things that you want to be sure doesn't, in this process, get lost or destroyed? Somehow it needs to be preserved. And we don't want to limit that to only land use issues. It's whatever
not
people
yet.
Say.
Yeah,
not yet, exactly. Not yet. So then the second one is, what is your least favorite? And again, that's really about what do you feel needs changing? What do you feel needs improving? And what are some challenges? And are there some particular locations where there are specific challenges? You know, we'll have a map for people to...
There'll be maps. We'll have maps in every station.
Now, in a... Sorry?
No, I'm just
saying,
who is your least favorite?
Might be well, well actually, so to tell you the truth, sometimes we put these questions up on big comment boards like in the town hall, so people that weren't at the meeting, can, and sometimes they have put who's.
Well, right, exactly.
And we have to cross that out with a big black marker, yeah. So in the first two questions, so there's town character and then there are the town characters,
yes.
Right? So in the first two questions, we're going to ask people, once they've done that, so we have two kinds of questions. One is the going around the room, and the other is the brainstorm, right? So the going around the table takes more time, but gives everyone an opportunity. So those two questions would be like that. You would go around the table. Everyone would have a chance to say. And then once that those are all written down, you're going to give each person five dots to ask them to prioritize. And they may end up, you know, putting a dot on somebody else's idea, and that's part of the whole process, right, is that it broadens their view, or it makes them realize they hadn't thought of something. So once everything is out here, each person gets five dots, and they are to put no more than three dots on any one item. So that's the first set of priorities. Least favorite, we do that again, prioritize. It's also a way of getting people out of their seat, so then they can sit back down and focus again. Third question, what's missing in Hingham? Simple as that. What have you seen in other communities? You know, the kind of additional prompts if people aren't moving along. Four, what would you predict will be some of the important issues to take into account when planning for Hingham's future? So you make kind of a table. Opportunities, how should we take advantage of these? Challenges, how should we address these? So let's just say, for example, someone says for challenge, climate change. Can you be more specific? Sea level rise. How should we address this? It's about the walls. It's about, you know, maybe hiring a sustainability officer. You know, whatever ideas people have about how should we address climate change.
So even at this early stage in the process, we're starting to get people to think about what's possible.
Exactly. Right. And then the last question is intended to add another layer of prioritization, because people have already started to think about, right, because we asked them their favorite, their least favorite, we've asked them to prioritize those. Now we're saying, if you could do one thing to improve Hingham, what would it be? And we're asking them then, after everyone has given their ideas, to prioritize that. So it's sort of two layers of prioritization. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to, what is most important? What are people's shared values? What's most important to you might not be what's most important to you, but maybe all together we can agree that these are their top five most important. Maybe your number one is your number three, but it's still amongst the top five. So that's why we do it in this way. So from here, then, we develop a vision and a set of goals, and we start to collect ideas for strategies about how to achieve those.
Right.
And then we take step by step.
So, just from a kind of planning and preparation perspective, I imagine that these won't all take the same amount of time.
No.
You can't really break it up and say we're going to do 20 minutes on each one, because it strikes me that four probably is going to be a longer conversation than some of the
exactly.
others. So we should collectively then have a sense on how much time to spend on each.
So
one
what
of
we
never
so
your cowbell?
Yeah. So what we do
but
is
fair. Cowbell helpful for everybody else, but for the facilitators, you got to know, right? Because you got to manage.
So what we're going to do is we assign an average time for each question, and it's usually around 10 minutes. And then what happens is if you see that your group, let's say your group is more interested in question two, and so you say, okay, well, there's a lot of interest here. Let's let it go a little bit. I've rung the cowbell at 10 minutes, so you know now that you're going further. Now when you get to question three,
that's great.
You have to, I also have a Peruvian whistle, we could use that instead. So then you have to say, okay, we have to spend a little less time on the next one. And then, but we're coming around and we're saying, you know what,
his group is much further ahead than yours. You better, you know, move a little bit. So, yeah. So, because it's very important that everyone get to the end. Because we can't say, oh, four groups, you know, this is what they share in terms of the priorities. And oops, that fifth group, they never got to that. We don't know what they think.
And we're doing this table by table, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So the mechanics of keeping track of dots.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a whiteboard that we write on that is exclusive to that table?
So you have those big post-it easel pads?
Yep. You have an easel with a big, giant post-it note. You can write on it, tear off it.
And tear off
it.
And
put the
we would have
you each have
per table.
Each table.
Each table.
Okay.
So each table has an easel. Each table has a post-it pad. Each table has its own markers, its own dots. And all the materials that you need. Your own map. Your own ground rules. You know, everything you need, we will provide for each table.
Name tags.
Sorry?
Name tags.
Name tags. That's right.
Yeah,
we
so
do.
Remember the answers.
We do unique name tags for the committee, so you guys are easily instantly recognizable to people. We have the same thing.
And more respected.
Yeah. Well, just it's really it's helpful. You'd be people come who may not know all of you, so if you have a committee name tag on or a staff name tag, it just says, okay, that's somebody who's in charge.
We did this for the housing production plan.
Yeah.
And it went really well.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of people came.
Yep.
It was a very healthy group here. We broke into these tables.
Yep.
There was great conversations. We had people from town were the scribes because
yep.
people from the housing trust were the leaders of the conversation.
Right.
It went really well.
Yeah.
People great. Were involved, had things to say.
Great.
The conversation went well. So it leads me to be hopeful that...
Good.
Yeah,
I'm glad you
it's
feel
a, it's
that
It's a structure
way.
That's pretty common for this type of activity.
Yeah.
So if you turn to the next page, here's some ideas that we could, you know, add to. And I'd like you to think about what you think could be interesting to add, to layer onto this. So one is, we've been doing this with Judy lately. So we have this this piece of vinyl. It's purple. It's very large. And we put it on the wall. And it's self-adhesive. And we give people cards. And we ask them questions. They write the answer. And then all they do is they just do this. And it sticks to the wall. And then people hang around. And they read other people's answers. They start conversations. So one of the things that's really important for a master plan is to identify what is unique and special about a place. Especially, you know, as we see globalization and development that becoming more and more the same. What is unique and what makes a place what it is? What makes Hingham Hingham? So we, and people always talk about, oh, we want to preserve the town character. Well, what is that?
What does that mean? Right.
And what are the features that comprise that? So these three questions are trying to get at that. What is your favorite place in Hingham and why? What else makes Hingham unique? And what would you? How would you define Hingham's town character? So we'd have these cards, and people would just write out, you know, short answers, and then stick them on the wall. And it kind of gets things, you know, mixed up a little bit. So
and
it's
we
not
have categories too.
Yeah. So
the
three categories. Another thing is to do like a. Sorry, Gordon, you had a question.
No, that's right. You run through this.
Okay. So another is to do like a fun fact. So we've done this in three ways. One is Judy did this great scrolling question, like let's say, you know, when was Hingham founded? So when was Hingham founded?
1635.
1635?
Depends on which.
Hingham was 35.
35.
The community was.
So that's the first slide. And then the second slide is the answer, so question, answer, but with something that happened that year that's unrelated to Hingham that is humorous. So that's kind of one way, and that's scrolling.
Nothing funny happened.
Yeah. Lexi, you finding something in 1635.
Humor came much later.
Thomas Wharton wasn't here yet.
That's right.
Another is just to have a handout of fun facts, and fun facts can be, you know, a number of wide-ranging things that people might not know about their town or do know, but they haven't seen them all compiled in one place. And it's just some nice handout to take home and, you know, feel more connected to the place where you live. And the third one that we're just doing now
in Medfield is a crossword puzzle. There's actually a something a website that will create it for you.
Yep.
So it's about, you know, fun facts about Hingham. So any thoughts about what you think you might like, if you think you might like this, to have a fun facts activity?
These things really matter, because what they do is they dispel the notion that somehow you're showing up for a public meeting and this is all official business and you're all going home at the end.
Yep.
And so, you know, this is really early in this planning process, and the more you can do to make people feel like they're enjoying it, because you don't want them to hate it. So things like this matter. They really, I first time you and I did this, I thought, oh, what a corny idea. But then I saw it in action. I thought, I get it now. People really respond.
And you want them to come back.
Right.
You want them to tell people, oh, you missed it. We had this fun thing we did. Or, you know, I met people because we did this. And then...
Or you won't believe what those crazy consultants did.
Right, right. Any of the above.
Well, you could do your trivia or the crossword puzzle. If you fill out the crossword puzzle,
you get a prize.
One of the prizes.
Exactly.
That's
right.
You draw a special raffle prize.
That's the thing, exactly.
Yeah. Right, the golden ticket.
Or you have Hingham trivia and...
Yeah, and if you can answer three of the 10, you know.
Which came out of all of the above, I would say.
All of the above.
In terms of how these things fit into the meeting, it sounds like we start with five or six questions. You go through that. Maybe that's an hour. Is this kind of the next hour? Is this very sequential, or how do you work on
it? So it is sequential. If it's a handout, then it's just something we give people with the agenda. And they have it, and they take it home. And it has at the bottom a link to the website and anything else that we want to link to. If it's a scrolling on the screen, it's while they're strolling in and maybe eating, chatting. And if it's a crossword puzzle, in this case, in Medfield, we made it into a mat to eat on. What do you call that?
Placemat.
Thank you. So it's a placemat. So while they're having dinner... they're doing this, you know, maybe saying, what do you think this could be?
That's such a cool idea.
Well, I would say that doing some of the activities at the beginning is good, because it makes people think about all the different things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
get in the mood, if you will.
Yeah, get them in
exactly.
The mood. And I think the sticky wall, too, is really good, because having it up the whole time, mm-hmm. because then... even after the discussion,
exactly.
People, you see what other people say, yeah. It prompts you to think of how to think.
Right. And it broadens
your... I have a great picture from West Woods where this young woman who put her cards up slowly walked along this wall and read every comment.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
just moving, actually.
And then people start discussing, but also it broadens their palette, yeah. right? Because you've come to this meeting from your daily life. You're not thinking in broad terms. You're not thinking about a vision. You're not thinking about goals for the future. And so you might think, oh, my least favorite thing is the traffic because, you know, I had a hard time getting here, or I had a hard time picking up my child at school. But we want to broaden that view. So having some of this is exactly for that reason. And also trying to make it more enjoyable. So it's not about, okay, what do you think? So another thing we could do is call for selfies. If we were to do this, then you have to start. What is your favorite place in Hingham, and why? And you have to take a selfie there and post it with a caption about why it's among your favorite places. And then we'll ask people at the meeting to do that. And we could ask them ahead of time as well. We did that in a town, and then we had them all showing.
That was really was fun.
Or you could do a set of selfies, all of us going out, getting crazy with selfies, in places, just places around Hingham.
Right, yes.
And have them identify where it is.
Yes.
And that would create an interest as well, because now they have to think about what they're looking at.
Right, and you'd be amazed at what they don't recognize.
So are you saying not identifying it? You're saying take a...
You won't identify
where it is. Actually, that's kind of cool.
Because it creates a curiosity.
Yeah.
This is in Hingham? Where is it?
Where is it?
We did an activity like this, yeah.
It introduces them to the town in some respects.
Right, and it's more engaging, because it's trying to solve a puzzle.
Right.
I like that.
They'll look at it.
But that would mean you guys
would have
to grab
masks when I do this.
So you could just take
because
a selfie.
Because there's some places I don't want them to know I've been.
That you've been there. I know there's some brewery you like to attend, I remember.
To pick up on Bob's comment, there are sometimes detailed photos of something. I mean, you carry that into something that's really puzzling. I was also thinking, I'm not a great fan of I don't know if you know, Kevin Lynch.
Yes, of course, he was my professor.
And all that, but there's, he kind of, you know, fed the vocabulary, and maybe to some degree, because you keep talking about visioning, and visioning isn't necessarily complaining about traffic. Or
no.
Is that the other thing? It's, you know, maybe get people to draw their idea without looking at a map. Draw a map for Hingham.
Cognitive map. Draw the cognitive.
What's your Hingham?
Yeah. Lynch's cognitive map.
Exactly.
We do that with
you, and you could draw it.
I know. I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
You know.
See it.
This is why we have architects, right?
Right.
That's an interesting idea.
Really cool idea.
Well, we do that with kids sometimes, but we haven't done it with adults. Say that again. I'm sorry.
That could be your placemat too.
Yes.
An outline of Hingham and.
And identify, and then how they connect or don't, right?
So just because I can see it and you guys can't, I just we're on.
Thank
we're
you.
At 8:00. So
perfect.
Fine. Good work.
Okay.
So
thank you for that.
So if you have any additional thoughts about other things to do to make it more of an event. Sorry, Gordon, you were about to say.
So this isn't necessarily making more of an event, but I have been thinking about, you know, and I don't know if this leads the witness too much to have it here, but there were the updated goals, right, that we all know. Like that's something of the foundation of this effort. It's not that long ago we went through, not as exhaustive an effort as this, but there was a collective gathering to look at the goals, and it, somehow we need to introduce those to the attendees that 5 years ago, these were the things that we all talked about. I don't know how you do that or if this is the appropriate venue.
I've been thinking about that too.
Me too.
That.
I just,
I
don't want to lose those all together.
Right, I agree.
So I'm of two minds about that. So I was thinking about it as well and thinking it could be somewhere on the wall where people could just put kind of post-its to say, to add to it or agree or disagree. But it is a little bit leading the witness.
Okay.
I think that I'm more inclined to say we use this, we feed this into our second phase, right? When we say we've collected everything from the public at this point in time, and then we build with this. This is another one of the bricks, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's not lost. But I think if we did this now, we wouldn't get a brainstorm.
So if you can then, so we go through this process, you gather all of this information, you reach your inventory, your conclusions, what have you. But then if you, as consultants, can benchmark it against what was 2014 and what's evergreen and what's fallen off the table and what's changed and all that kind of thing, I think for our purposes, as we're looking at it and we're trying to put together this version of it, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, I worked on a plan recently where we were doing an update, and so one of the things we did was we put the former goals on big boards and asked people, you know, was this achieved? You'd be amazed at what people think wasn't done that actually was done. So it becomes a way for local government to say, wait a minute, we actually have done this. And is it still relevant?
Right.
Would you spend money on this, or would you want more information? And so people had a way to just kind of respond to those goals, and it gave us an instant look at how those goals continued or did not continue to be aligned with the thinking of the community today. So I can just tell you now that part of my plan with these too, when we get to the inventory documents and the discussion questions I alluded to earlier about meetings with you folks, one of the things I was planning to ask is, here are goals that were discussed a few years ago for this particular master plan element. You know, how important is this, or how is this still relevant today, or how much guidance should we take from this, and what has changed? So I actually was going to use those in these meetings too.
Okay.
And just going back 5 years.
Well, we're looking at the goals the planning board adopted. Adopted in
2017.
I guess that's the question. Do we go back 20 years as well as 5 years, or are we...
I mean, didn't you amend an existing plan?
Yes, those are updated
goals.
Why don't you incorporate the whole thing?
That was we started 2014, and it kind of got voted by 2017. And that was updating the previous goals and objectives. So those are our current goals and objectives.
Right.
There was not visioning that was done at the same time to kind of counterbalance it, but we do have current goals and objectives that were recently truthed.
Can I ask a quick question? We did, the last time we did a master plan update was 2001, right?
That's right.
So there were results in that master plan update. Mm-hmm. This is what we did in 2001, and I think you mentioned that a lot of that is about the railroad coming, the underground, and all of a sudden you have this beautiful picture of all of a sudden this is what Hingham looks like today, and it was a result of the visioning work we did in 2001. Is that helpful or instructive, and does it motivate people to go, wow, look at these people did in 2001, and look what happened?
I think it's helpful because it adds credibility to the process, saying that it's meaningful, it's useful.
And to get a perspective on planning, 5 years is zip. We suffer from institutional lag here, which that's famous for bodies not making decisions rapidly. And I think a 20-year view is about as long as you can go. And if there's key goals that were achieved that people are happy with, that only happened a year ago or 2 years ago, that would help guide how we need to think about what the tenure of this planning master plan is, and should we pick up some of those things that weren't accomplished and move them forward. Nothing really gets old when it comes to planning. Except maybe the concept, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not opposed to reaching back to 2000 or 2001.
You guys did. You know, I think that it would be helpful for people to see what was missed.
Yeah.
In the earlier plan. And it was a big hole that was missed.
Question is, when do we do this?
Yeah, so
I wouldn't try to cloud this with Velvet.
It could be just a matter of two slides, right, mm-hmm. in the PowerPoint saying, this is, these are the key things.
Do we bring it out in the finding session? Say, here's the information from the last, here's what you said, and then here's what the last plan said.
Oh.
Here's where it's similar, here's where it's different.
And again, you're being hard on yourselves, but about that, I also think that the focus on the train that you guys did in 2000 and 2001 preserved the downtown, which really is, when you think about it, I mean, I was walking around, and like, this is something that you cannot replicate. It really is such a distinctive part of this community that would be radically different, if not for that one. So if you're looking, if you want to look back at what a master plan can accomplish, mm-hmm. right? You know, you don't actually have a physical counterfactual to say this is what downtown would look like with a train flying through it, but everybody knows, right? So there's an advantage, I think, to looking back and, you know, doing the evaluation, I would say, on both sides.
Just pulling out maybe the key features, right?
At least for this meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so do you want to have, in terms of the fun facts, I'm just concerned because I know we're going to be in crunch time.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Do we want to ask the committee to perhaps help us identify fun facts and get them to us by a certain date?
I was going to ask Mary to send them an email about that.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So when do we want to get them by?
So if we have November 20th
on my calendar.
So let's just say November 5th. Can you send us what you think? And even if it's not that much fun, but just a fact,
we can make it fun. And help us document it. Because there's nothing worse than putting something out that you think is a fun fact and you've got the wrong date.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the wrong, you know, moment in time. So if it's a fact, help us document it, please.
I've been through this, in case you can't tell.
Certainly get us attention in this town.
So can you help me send out a reminder email?
You all know your town. I mean, you know things that we're just not going to trip over.
That by November 5th.
November 5th.
If they could get us.
They're all memorizing that now, I'm sure.
So, but you'll get a gentle, friendly reminder.
So. And I would ask the staff, too, the department heads.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're fun.
but they live in a world of facts. They live in a world of facts, so might be good to ask them.
Do we want the raffle prize information by November 5th also?
That's a good idea.
Sure.
Then we'll be ahead of the game. Yeah.
So, do you want to go through a little bit of the community engagement?
Yeah, just do a little bit.
It's been said in advance, so folks have seen it. We have gone over it a bit before, but if there's any in particular you want to draw our attention to
if we're skipping over the youth activities.
Thank you.
We don't have so much youth activities, but how do we get kids involved? Like I was thinking as we were talking, like should we invite the kids who were in student government at the high school to come, make sure they have an invitation to come?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. But what other youth? How else can we engage the youth so they feel like they're part of the conversation?
So we've done that in different ways, through library programs. Let's say the teen librarian or the children's librarian, and give them ideas about how they can involve the children visioning. To the schools themselves, we talked a little bit about that, Liza, last time. We'd have to identify teachers that would be interested and give them some materials.
Could we ask the green team to maybe do meeting in a box or student government to be some of our meeting in a box ambassadors?
What about the big sports teams? Like we have a huge lacrosse following and hockey. Why wouldn't we focus on those kids? There's hundreds of lacrosse children from various ages. We would love to hear their voice.
I think we're going to talk about setting up tables at some events and maybe at sporting events. Mm-hmm. That might work.
Because
that's where a lot of the parents go too. We have to look. I want to look at the school calendar and see what big events we have coming that we're not going to, that might fly under the radar, especially with traffic and things like that.
And I could go to some of those events,
especially when I permit food and stuff like that.
If you want, what kinds of groups do you want? Do you want concentrated people who are really thinking and focused, or do you want random? Because, and then we can set up all the tables we want. I mean, there's a matter of manpower of, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to go to every school event. So I have enough school events I have to go to. So it's kind of like
in a
there's
way
a reality of doing it, and then there's what's your desire. So
in a way, it's more meaningful if it's a group of children or young adults sitting down and thinking about it. It's more meaningful to them, and it's more meaningful to us. So if we could have it in a more organized setting, whether that be the library or the Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts.
Or you could, I used to teach on, I'd be invited in by a teacher or anything to discuss entrepreneurial behavior. Mm-hmm. And if any of us could go into, let's say, an American history classroom for one class a week or several classes a week and just discuss why planning is important and what Hingham is engaged in, that is an extremely effective way.
Exactly.
You have a classroom who's studying the evolution of whatever America means to that particular teacher, and we can participate. And I have no trouble going into a classroom. I was a professor for the first 10 years of whatever my adult life constituted. And it's very easy to go in and discuss why this is important and why we want their engagement. And it pays off. I used to get a lot of input on even what's an entrepreneur to...
Yeah.
They were allowed to call me and ask me questions as they continued to grow up.
Well, the town of Acton wanted all the schools to be involved, and I actually went in every grade level, different kinds of history teachers, art teachers, math to do statistics, so that they surveyed their peers and then they did statistical analysis of the responses. Technology, so they went and did videos. So the whole school system got really involved. But they put a lot of resources towards that. So, you know, maybe, and I'd be happy to support anyone who wanted to do that.
But what is the end goal to sort of, is it to make them feel involved, or is it actually to get valuable input?
So it's two one, it's true. So one, it's kind of, it's educational for them, right? What does it mean to be a participatory citizen? What is planning? And what are some ways of thinking differently about your everyday life? So one is an educational goal. The other is sometimes they come up with really cool, fresh ideas. And it is really about them that we're planning for, right?
Right.
So they're representing their demographic. And the third reason is that it attracts the attention of their parents. So then we can maybe get them to be more.
So at the high school level, it would probably be good. We could probably organize something the beginning of November, like before these visioning sessions, inviting high school students, because that's the break between sports seasons. And so there'll be a big bulk of people that'll be done with their fall sport, and they would be potentially available. So if we have to do something after school, because, I can talk to the social studies department head, because civics is the new curriculum, so it might work. And then in the middle school, they have after school clubs, and there's a bus, so we might be able to do something at the middle school after school. Come January, they're going to start having some flex time in their schedule, but that might be too late.
The other thing,
for the engagement.
For the visioning, to do visioning with the kids,
right?
Yeah.
To find out their feedback, what's good, what's bad, what are we missing?
Right. So that's why so I think after school, we could probably set up sessions and just invite the student body.
Mm-hmm.
We can encourage the school student council and the green team as, could you help facilitate? Do you have an interest?
Mm-hmm.
And the history teachers of, this.
So do you want to work together on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
And the other thing is, in another town, we did it during the lunchtime.
Yeah.
So we had this.
They only have 20 minutes.
Oh, forget it.
I tried to do a focus group at lunch with
no.
They can't.
They have 20 minutes?
That's terrible.
Yeah. That's their lack of focus.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Should there be an assignment with this, like to take home and just kind of bring something back? So.
Well,
we would give them
questions.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying take home and bring back.
Bring back and
Then you guide their thinking.
I don't want to get into the curriculum with the teachers and
redirect
their curriculum what I'm concerned about.
Right.
And so they already have enough on their plate,
yep.
And we're just entering negotiations, so I really can't do that.
But we can just take
I know what you mean. Just the question.
But after school, the kids that are interested, and if, we can find a raffle prize, but...
That's how we've done it.
It's the future of Hingham. Do you want to be
exactly.
part of the future of Hingham?
Exactly.
There's going to be a handful
there'll be
of kids
some.
That are
there'll be some. There always are.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, so these are going to them where they are.
Yeah.
I think it would be great to
invite
the student council people, because they're kind of the engaged kids who are interested in government, at least at the school level, to come to the November
So the other thing we've done is that the kids who are involved, who do that, let's say on an after school, invite them to come present what the collective group said.
Mm-hmm.
So they come present, and then, sometimes it's like two representatives, sometimes it's a larger group.
You're talking about getting this all done in the next 30 to 45 days on top of the two visioning centers and on top of all the meetings in the box.
Yep.
It sounds like great ideals. It just feels like trying to boil the ocean here a little bit. I mean, you've been through it before, but we're talking about we're still talking about creative ideas. We've got to get it all done in 30 days.
But we're all a team here, right?
Well, but the team's doing a lot of other things as well.
Yeah.
So just in terms of prioritization, it feels too aspirational, at least my view.
Okay.
I caution it might not more than we can share.
I echo. I mean, I can do a few. That's what I said. I can.
Right. So I think that's what we're just throwing out ideas now, and then seeing what we can do. Right. So we want our grasp to be.
So I think what one of the ideas is that as far as time frame, because I hear what you're saying, jumping ahead, I believe that we're going to get the information for meeting in a box, hopefully within another week after this. I'll have it in my office. I can make copies of it, duplicate it. I will be kind of the point person if somebody wants to do one with your book club or do something. I can get copies to you when you're done. You can get the information back to me. I can go to places. Some of us can partner. We're not expecting any of you to do 20 of these, but even if each one of you did one or two with your diverse groups, you'd be bringing back much more information. And if the school right. things play out, certainly I can be available. I think that it feels like a lot, but as soon as we have that information and we set everyone free with it, League of Women Voters, Farmers Market, I mean, there's a bunch of great opportunities. We might find that we're getting a lot of information back. That may be a little optimistic, but I
just have to try.
I think it is aspirational. I think I would say two things. One, this is a sprint, right? As we've all talked about, this is
right.
this is we're going to try and get an awful lot done in a relatively short period of time. That's the trade-off, right? We're going to run you all ragged, but we're going to do it on a tighter time frame. Mm-hmm. But I do think the effort of the outreach is important, right? So if we each do, we team up and we each do one or even two, you know, if there are 15 of those and we get, you know, five people each, we've done another visioning session, right? So
and with diverse
and
networks
reached out more broadly. So I'm all about being aspirational, I guess. I think we should try to do as much as we can.
Right, I agree. And then if we don't make it, then maybe we, you know, make up for it afterwards. Like, one thing I think is really important to see who is missing at these two sessions.
Right.
Who is that, you know? And then we have to decide, all right, how do we reach those people? Right. What should we do different? So we can catch up later, too, if we can't do it all now.
In the run-up, therefore, I think, to the November sessions, will we be publicizing the questions? Because some people like spontaneity.
Yeah.
A lot of people like me, we're not so good at spontaneous
stuff.
You want to think about it ahead of time? We'll help
you be spontaneous.
Yeah. That's very nice. But I think it'd be very constructive.
So you'd like them to be, you think you'd like them to be published?
Oh, yeah.
We just don't want people to walk in with everything already written out. And just
exactly.
I think you should want people to walk
to
in.
To think harder.
Thought of stuff. Because there's a tremendous difference between somebody just kind of coming up with something because they feel under pressure to come up with something, and to actually think about what do I love about him?
Yeah.
Why
so what is the what do the rest of the group feel about that?
He wants the question set out in advance.
I was thinking here similar, yeah. So people could be prepared
Some people will want to be prepared, and other people won't. Let them decide.
I
think as we reach out in the various papers and online and stuff, I think it should be, you should have a, not necessarily a list question, but this is what we're trying to
the
find
top,
out.
That's right. We're not all about Hingham, what are you worried about Hingham?
We don't have to have the specific 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But so people walk into the meetings with some framework of what the meeting's about rather than sitting there going, oh, it's about this, let me think about this. I think we're going to get more thoughtful.
So maybe that way it's a kind of a compromise of saying, you know.
It might be a way to draw people in. Like if somebody's really passionate about this stuff, then
So when is that communication happening?
We'll be writing it up very shortly. And I think it would probably make sense to have one version that we can then share with the group to put on different social media sites, right? A newspaper article, you mean in advance of the visioning sessions. We'll be producing some copy for sharing. Is that not?
Yeah.
I think it might even help turnout too, because a lot of people don't know what's a master plan. You know, I don't
it's
know
true.
Anything about zoning. Who cares? But if all of a sudden they see that we're talking about our favorite places, our least favorite places, the future, the past, whatever, it might
generate more interest.
I want my voice to be heard rather than thinking it's a bunch of wonky people talking about zoning.
Well, there's a point. It's a good point.
I love.
No. Do that on our own time.
That's a different meeting.
I think that's with the new one.
So we'll work on the wording. We'll work on the wording. So let's quickly go to the community engagement plan. In other words, part of it is the messaging that we're talking about, but also how are we going to get that messaging out? Does anyone have any additional thoughts about this? Because we're going to finalize this after tonight's meeting. I mean, it's not like we can't add to it later. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that then this is going to be used to generate interest for the November meetings. So if you have any additional thoughts, so that everyone then can, you know, use this as a reference.
If you've already provided some comments,
yeah,
that will be addressed, but they're not addressed in this version. We wanted to wait and do one round of edits.
I have a question. Will we be able to put up a board, say, in the community center or the post office or different places for people to actually leave comments on it?
Mm-hmm.
And is that something that we could start putting out in the same time frame?
Yes, we call them comment boards. But someone here would have to be responsible for checking on them. And the reason is that, well, two reasons. One, you don't want anything inappropriate voting put up. And the other is, you know, if it is full and there are no more post-it notes, and, you know, then starts to look stale. So someone has to be responsible for checking on it probably every day. And then taking them down when they're full, typing them up, and sending them to us. So we can create them if someone will take on that responsibility.
Yeah.
I think we should plan to do that.
So I know the engagement plan had been sent around to folks. This version incorporates all the comments that folks had sent back.
Right.
With their homework. So if you wrote something and sent it in, it's in here. I'm sure there were a lot of shared minds among the group on some of the changes. But if folks want to go through this one last time, if there are any other minor comments, COB Friday, is that all right? You guys are going to be busy until then anyway?
Yeah, we're busy until then anyway. Okay.
So let's do that.
One category I'm kind of missing here, and I'm not sure that it needs to be here, but does it make sense to have a category that's like the business community?
Yes.
Because I don't think we have it here, and there are a number of large property owners, many of whom live in town, and a number of large property owners who don't, but who are important citizens of the economy.
So maybe like large employers, property owners. So usually it's hard to engage the business community. When we have meetings, they're busy. It's very challenging to engage them. Most often, if we really want their input, it's through an online survey.
Well, I know that for instance,
here the other day.
Sorry?
They were here the other day.
Yeah, all the sessions that I went to, several people from the local, you know, local large property owners who show up. So yes, it probably is hard, but I think it doesn't mean you shouldn't.
Right.
Just reach out
and be welcoming.
I think it's worth doing. The economic development meeting I thought was very good, but I didn't think the large employers were represented. Did you?
The landowners, but not employers.
Yeah, they usually don't come to meetings like that.
Right,
yeah.
But there were some questions like, how do you feel about the labor force? Is it easy to find qualified people?
And only they could answer.
There were some anecdotal comments, but nobody really knew
that
in the room.
Sure.
So I think the survey is a great idea. Will there be a survey? I thought we had talked also about a survey to the general public. Is that later in the process, or is
so
it
we
want to
see
do
first
visioning
what
visioning questions as a survey as well?
We want to see first what happens at these sessions,
okay,
and then we can decide.
I think at least some of us are leaning on, there should be a reason not to do it, right? I think otherwise, I think we would like to do the survey after the visioning, if possible. If
for some reason
there's a compelling argument not to, fine, but I think generally the sense that I've gotten from folks when we've talked about this is that is something.
The difference is that we would not be doing an open-ended survey. So when you come to a meeting, there's a discussion and so forth.
Sure.
But a survey, people would be given sort of forced choice response items.
Yes, understood.
Because we have to have a way to tally it.
Yep.
Sure.
And the other thing is it's a matter of resource.
It's based on largely the results.
Absolutely.
The
right, and that's why we're waiting. But also it's a matter of resource allocation. So, for example, if we see that a certain demographic is missing and there might be another way of reaching them, we might want to put the resources there. So that's why we're holding off on making a recommendation one way or another.
So how did you feel about the core meetings that we... Did you consider the information that you gathered last week? Yeah, it was last week. Or was it this week?
We had two of them. We had three of them last week. We
right.
had land use, economic development,
right.
and sustainability, yeah. energy, and water. So I've talked to Nate Kelly a couple of times. I think Nate Kelly felt he did the sustainability meeting. I think he felt that he got tremendous value out of that meeting,
mm-hmm.
To the point that we've started to talk about maybe how the sophistication in the room might shape the way we think about organizing the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I don't want to get off on this tonight, but just to make the point that sometimes in a master plan, there will be an element called sustainability. And sometimes you design your plan so that sustainability is threaded throughout the document. So in every sort of standard element that's required by the statute, you would have a section on how does this relate to sustainability. So people would be thinking about sustainability for housing, for water, for historic preservation. That's just a different way to think about how you're incorporating sustainability into a plan. And I think where
APA is moving in that direction,
yes,
because they have that matrix that you can sort of rate how to what degree does this recommendation fulfill your sustainability goals.
Yes. So we're thinking about we're talking about all that. But I think he felt like he got a lot of good input from that.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot out of the economic development meeting. So, and I thought land use was very helpful. Land use is a hard topic for people to talk about. Unless they sort of know zoning or know wetlands regulations or something, it's just hard for people to get their heads wrapped around it, but I thought it was a great meeting. We learned a lot.
So it was worthwhile.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Checking.
Yeah, no, it was definitely worthwhile. I think the difficulty for us is we do these meetings in different ways in different communities. Typically, when we do what we call core assessment, it's really more almost like with the community leadership, so we're getting ourselves educated as opposed to a big public meeting, which is what some of these turned out to be. So the fact is that we still need to sort of get information, and if we didn't get it out of the core assessment meeting, we can't then double up that effort. Do you see what I'm saying? So we're having discussions right now as a team about how we're going to compensate for perhaps the omission of some content that we didn't get because people might have come to a meeting during the day if they had facts or information we needed, but they didn't come at night. Because we can't redo those meetings. So
I'm having two day and night for the public services and facilities next week and the week after.
All right. So
just one thing, if you turn to the very back, the very last section that says make personal phone calls, that's really critical.
Critical.
So it's not for now, it's not for this week, but it's maybe for 2 weeks before and 1 week before the November 20th to say, I'm going to make as many phone calls as it takes to get 5 people to commit to come. That might be 5 calls. It could be 10, could be 12. So you're just going to get 5 people to attend. And it's be through your personal networks, your neighbors, your friends, your book club members. And if you can do that, then they can maybe get others to attend. You know, that will start to fill the room with these different points of view that we're interested in.
I also will remind you of something I believe I said in the interview, which is that usually what I tell my master plan committees when you're starting to do outreach for a meeting, that you have a list of people you're going to call, and it has to be equally divided between people you really like and people you hate. Because ultimately,
she always says
inclusivity...
That's such a longer list, though. But, you know, a lot of the
inclusion in a process like this really comes to you. And so we would challenge you to think about folks you might not normally hang out with or people you know might disagree with you. It's so important to people to get a phone call. I can't say this enough. People feel invited. It's so different from a poster or something on the cable TV. When they get a call from Paul saying, I really think you should come to this meeting, you know, even though I denied your special permit for some project 3 years ago. But I mean, just that reaching out to people really matters. So
email with the flyer matters.
Yeah.
But also, you have to remember that you're not imposing on people, right?
Right.
You're giving them an
inviting
opportunity.
Them. Right. Inviting
an
them.
Opportunity to shape the future of their town.
Right.
You're offering them something. You're not imposing on them. And you're only inviting them. You're not saying, you know, you must come. You're saying, please come. Here's an opportunity for you to shape the future of your town and discuss it with us and come up with a vision and a set of goals. And if you care about your town, you care about your children and their future. You know, here is an opportunity. So it's not an imposition. Remember that. It's an invitation.
Right.
So
how would you like me to correct the bylaw that caused me to turn your application away?
Sorry, it's just like,
whew. So can I teach you to help you do better next time?
So if that's all for that, then meeting in the box.
Well, I think the only thing is, before I jump into meeting in the box, do you want to talk about the logo? So
yes,
we can dispense with
that. Let's do that because the meeting in the box material is pending the logo. So thank you again for all of the feedback. I would say the modified version that I set out at the end of last week. Thank you for all of your feedback. It was I would say the broad consensus was an endorsement of that revised logo. It was not unanimous still, and so before we just move forward, there were the comments that questioned it a bit would fall under the category of one: is it potentially confusing to folks when we say, looking ahead to the 400th, are we a 400th anniversary celebration committee as opposed to a master plan? I think. The fact that it says 2020 master plan it kind of helps to explain that. If folks are unsure what the 400th even means, that becomes an educational opportunity that we can kind of talk a little bit about the history of the town and this is 2035 to 2035, as well as that's the sort of 15-year horizon round numbers for the master plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are explainable, and I don't think deal breakers. The broader question was the physical use of Old Ship Church as the logo, as an active church in town, and whether or not that's sort of what we want to lead with. As I said in my email, it is in the town seal, but that's the town seal first with the church in it as opposed to the church being, I think the comment was, is it sort of an overt, too overt, a tie to that congregation? Or is it more of a bullshit church event and not a townwide event? Well, I don't know about favoring them or not, but you know it's you know, and I want to.
Is there another historic building that's iconic?
You have to think about the budget with our designer.
Yeah,
which we'll think about and talk about. But you know, I'll say I'm torn because I don't want to make the perfect the enemy of the good on one side, right? But I don't want to kind of bull rush this thing, you know, if we need to find money, you know, or what have you, we will. I don't want this to be a long conversation because we do have some heavy lifting still to do, but I wanted to make sure that folks understood. Overall, most of you thought that was fine. There was some concerns. I want to air it if anybody wants to comment on it one way or the other, or make alternative suggestions for us to kick around again with the idea that we're going to reach resolution in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, because we really need to leave here tonight with that direction.
I promise.
Right, yeah.
I'll comment because I raised a serious concern about using only Old Ship Church as the symbol. And I have several concerns. One is, for me,
in our U.S. and our state constitution, there's a separation of church and state. And I don't believe we should have as the sole symbol an act of congregation as that symbol. I recognize it's a historic symbol, but it's still there. The other part, and even the way it's designed, to me, it looks like a religious enlightenment symbol with the raised light. So, I also then, I reached out to a board member at Old Ship Church, and I also questioned, did they approve the use of their symbol? And I just described the logo to them. I eventually sent it to them, but I described it. And interestingly, the reaction was, we're very proud that you would think of us. However, in the context of the master plan, there was a concern because Old Ship Church now is trying to develop land in downtown Hingham. And would this be a conflict of interest of us either showing a favoritism to them because they have a vested interest in the outcome of the master plan, or also then create undue angst because there are a number of people that are fighting their plans. And so in the specific context of, because it's the use of the master plan, that and which, it had kind of crossed my mind that I knew there was some...
So show some kind of implicit approval
right.
of what they're trying to do if
yes.
we're including
yes.
them as
yes.
the...
So, So once they saw the logo, it does look nice, but from there, and that person also was like, well, wait, this is town government. Why are they using a church logo to represent a town government initiative? So, to me, as an elected official, I have a hard time with using a church as the symbol for our town.
I'm with Liza on that, and you said it far more eloquently than I could have. And I thought that it's certainly an iconic image in our town, an iconic building, but it's a church. But kind of circling back, I thought, you know, we do have a brand, we have a logo, it's our town seal, which
yeah.
was incorporated. And I'm not sure why we couldn't creatively make use of that in a way that will make it memorably our brand, and yet not reinvent the wheel.
So, those are all legitimate points. And I'm pretty sure there's no objection around the table. Well, I won't cut it off right there. If there are other thoughts on that, either way.
Do we want to skew towards history, finding historic building, or do we want to skew towards harbor? And you know, how much does the harbor define
the town,
and how much do you know? Which
right. I think in the interest of time. I think at this stage, sitting here, we have a binary choice between what we have there or one that is the town seal with the wording that we have sort of identified, right? So it's more generic, right? It's certainly less stylized if we do the town seal, but it's unobjectionable and defensible, right? And what I don't want to do is sidetrack us greatly over something that is, that will carry us through, but I don't want to create a great distraction at any point in the process. So my fallback would just be a use of the town seal, which from an artistic perspective should be relatively straightforward. It exists, right? It's...
Could it be stylized?
That's what I was just thinking, because to use it as is maybe too...
With too what?
Well, it's not the brand...
Is this an official process? So, I mean, it's an official process, so if you have the town seal, which is the official town seal...
It's true.
Liza's got a nice colored version of it. I mean, we're so used to the black and white as being kind of dull and prosaic, but... If the colored version is a real version, it looks like it's very striking. Why not creatively incorporate it into your idea?
It's up to them.
It's entirely
I think that would work out fine. It certainly would be safer. And you'd hate to have a tail to... I mean, I originally didn't think of it that way, but I did show the proposal to other people, and they had the exact same reaction that you did. Why a church? And, you know, it's just... It's like, you just don't want to deal with any of that.
Right.
That static.
Again, we're... The static will come, so...
well, static, you can all be certain of that. The static will come on substance.
Exactly.
Like, not on the steel. Not on the logo.
We'll prepare ourselves for that, unfortunately. So I think, unless there's objections, we're going to default to the simpler, more straightforward duty. I'll work with you on making that happen.
Well, I think we just need to get that color version so I can get it to the designer. Right.
Is that an official
town? I got it off the town website.
Okay, but we're going to need a better resolution file than that. There must be a town clerk or somebody must have one.
Yeah, we can get you one.
We'll get you that.
I'll get it for you.
So the materials that you will get that Judy's going to walk through right now will now include that logo as well as everything that we have going forward.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes.
So are you asking for it to be as is or stylized?
I think the as is color version.
Yeah, just as is. We have to. We just, I'm not going to ask her to.
That's all.
Part of it is we can't do another round of this. We have to just say this is it.
Right.
So, we can't. I mean, we won't be able to get this done otherwise.
Yeah, no, that's not
there is some significance to it because it was designed by William Dwiggins, local graphic artist. Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
Here we go. Put that one down.
There you go.
Who designed the logo?
It's not very homework. What wording? It's also on the badge.
Let's use the same
police
wording.
Force.
Is that okay? We use the same wording. At least it'll be more obvious because it'll show when the town started. People will be able to do the math there.
What else? Certainly.
So, meeting of us.
Okay. I have a little bit of a handout here for you folks. So I'll just start these. So we should split up a pile and we can take some here. Mary Daphne.
Thank you.
And voila. This is not the whole packet. I just didn't want to print that out because I knew it was going to change. So I want to just talk about this activity a little bit. What you're going to get from us is something that is sort of like this, but some additional sheets. So the point of meeting in a box is to have like an informal version of the visioning discussion. But because it's intended to be more informal, and because you might have a real mix of people coming to something like this who may not be perhaps brave public speakers or something, asking the questions is a little bit different with meeting in the box than it is in the big visioning meeting. So there will be worksheets attached to this, and your job as the sort of host of the meeting in the box is to organize it, to invite people, and probably even to be a note taker, unless you have a lot of folks show up, you might want to ask someone else for help taking notes. But you're going to be asking the same questions in Meeting in the Box that you're going to be talking about at the public meetings in November. So when I said earlier, this is really like a way to broaden the visioning process, I really meant it. Be asking the same questions. But instead of having someone at a table facilitating a discussion and writing everything down that's said as it's said spontaneously, in Meeting in a Box, there are participant worksheets, which will be attached to this packet. So everyone who comes will get a worksheet. And so as you go through those questions for the visioning process, people will be given an opportunity first to kind of write down what they think. So you don't just sort of jump into a brainstorming. You ask the question. They have their worksheet, they kind of write down their thoughts, get their thoughts organized, and then you as the facilitator, assuming the host is also the facilitator, will kind of go around and ask people, each person, you know, what did you think? And you write that down. So you have a record both of what they wrote on their sheets, because you'll want to collect those at the end, but also you're going to want to kind of record what's said, ideally on a newsprint sheet, but it even could be done just, you know, on an 8.5 by 11 page if you want, so that there's a way to talk about what everybody said in the end. So after they say what they thought about what do you most like about Hingham or maybe what do you not so much like, there's an opportunity then at the end of each of those taking down what people said to discuss them, And then they get to rank sort of like the top three. So there's a very similar prioritization process that happens in Meeting in a Box, but the way it's conducted is a little bit different. So people will be able to think about the question, write down their answer, and then they share as a group, sort of like a nominal group process type technique is what we call it. Then do a prioritization. In the end, you're going to gather up all these worksheets, and what, however the notes were taken, either on, you know, regular paper like this or on a piece of newsprint, package them all up, put them in the virtual box, and get them back to Mary, who will then, you know, get them to us. So it's really a very simple thing to do. You can do it. You can do it in your living room. You can invite people over and, you know, have a gathering or something and do this process together. All right.
Coffee shop.
Coffee or whatever. But just a way to kind of ask folks the same questions who might not come to a public meeting on the 20th or the 23rd, but might be very comfortable going and talking to you in your living room or at a soccer game or whatever. Probably getting a little cold to do that outside. But, you know, I think you understand the point. We're trying to get more outreach here, but get information that's consistent. So in the end, we have two public meetings where people were asked these questions. At Meeting in a Box, they were asked the same questions. And now you have this sort of big input. It'd be kind of fun for us, I think, to see if the responses that we got were very different based on whether people came to your living room versus here for a public meeting. We will take responsibility for kind of pulling all the information together. We're not going to do a literal transcript of what you give us. We're going to pull out key ideas. So we'll have a working summary so you'll know what we have. When you get this packet from us, the official packet, there will be two contact names on it. One will be Mary's as the staff person in Town Hall. The other will be Jeff Davis on our team. So if you have a question and you need some help, you need some technical assistance on how to do this, you can contact either Mary or Jeff and get some help from us. And we're going to want to sort of get this done, as I said, kind of over the course of, you know, November into mid-December, so we get everything back, because we're going to be working very hard at that point on these draft inventory documents that I mentioned earlier, the sort of here's where you are and here's kind of where you got here. And in doing that, we are going to be then also thinking about the questions we want to bring back to you in the meetings in January, February, and March that we need input from you on. Our thinking about what those questions will be shaped in part by the outcome of the visioning meeting in November, but also what people said in your Meeting in a Box sessions and whatever else we come up with. So this input's really important to us. I don't want anybody to feel like you have to do 10 of these meetings, but I think if you each did one with whatever, you know, folks you know, just think about how big this committee is. If everybody did one Meeting Box, it would be fabulous. So don't overburden yourself, but if you can perhaps contribute in this way, you will really help to shape the input into the plan, and you probably will be able to get some participation that we might not see in the meeting. So we'll have a packet for you, all the participant worksheets, everything you need will be in this packet. There are pretty detailed instructions in here about how to go about organizing the meeting, you know, inviting people, having a record of who you invited, having a record of who showed up, and then what the responses were that people gave you, you know, in response to those four or five questions. And really, that's it. And then you can have wine and cheese or whatever you want, because it won't be a public meeting at Town Hall. So does that make sense to you? Or you understand what we're asking you to do?
How long do these meetings usually run?
An hour or so.
I think it's only four questions, because we didn't include the question on opportunities and challenges.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. I mean,
we did it on purpose to make it so that it wouldn't be too complicated.
Sure, I think that's fine.
So that it's four questions, so if you think, like, you know, 15 minutes per question.
Yeah, it depends on how many people show up. If you have a bunch of people show up, you're probably going to have to split them into small groups. And that's, you know, that's certainly your choice as the host or the facilitator, but you know, it won't be as long as the visioning meeting, because you're just not going to have that number of people. It's a different kind of environment.
Well, you probably invite tops 20 people, and maybe 10 will show.
Yeah. Unless you feed them and they'll all show up.
Right.
As an example, I'm hoping to do this with the men's breakfast at the senior center. I'm hoping to go to the Downtown Association, maybe do one of their monthly meetings. So I'm looking at some of these other groups that aren't necessarily like the planning board,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
there are already groups right. of interests, you know, particular interests, going to them. For me, because I don't live in town, that's how I would engage
sure.
people.
Yeah.
But if you have a book club or
affinity groups,
you know,
yeah.
certain interest groups or yeah. something, it doesn't have to be a huge group.
Oh no,
it
no,
could
no,
be
no.
five
people.
A huge group.
Could be five people.
This
but,
is
but
are,
very
are,
different. Type
are
of
there
thing.
Some larger? Because you have, you know, taking the discussion to some of these groups, like Linden Ponds or to Avalon at the Shipyard, some larger areas where you might get more people.
You can do that. It's really up to you.
But,
this
who,
is,
but if someone was going to, I mean, is it just ad hoc? We just, or did, how do you figure
so
who's going to do that?
So if there's an interest in having one of these at Linden Ponds, if somebody has a connection there and you can identify a good time to go, by all means, I would suggest either reaching out to me and I can broadcast to this group. I'll certainly make myself available as possible to go and support any of these. Some of us may be more available than others.
I would recommend pairs.
But there should always be.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yes. An event as large
but if we went
right.
to Linden Ponds, and, you know, that's a captive audience, theoretically, you might get a big group.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll probably need more than two.
You get more than the visiting center.
I think I can connect with somebody at Linden Ponds and find out if there's interest.
Perfect.
And then I'll report it. Out how to
fabulous. So Donna's going to take the lead on Linden Ponds.
I would say if
that's
you...
That's not what I said.
Let the
raise your hand. She's going to gauge the interest in Linden Ponds.
There you
She's
go.
She's going to gauge the interest.
Correct. If you are thinking about approaching an organized group, you might want to keep Mary in the loop
yeah.
because
right,
two of you could end up contacting
right.
the same group.
Yeah.
If you're inviting people into your living room for... you know, wine and cheese and a planning session. I don't just keep track of who's there. But I would say for something like Linden Ponds or Business Association or whatever, just make sure this department knows what's going on so there's no duplication. That would be a rather embarrassing thing if it turned out that
I
way.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So how many of us living here in this meeting live in South Hingham? And the reason I ask that question, as a result of another meeting that took place, a couple of people came up to me from South Hingham and said, you know, we're like, we don't live in this town. We are totally ignored. And I said, well, you know, how did you get to this feeling? Well, all the decisions are made by the people up in North Hingham. And, it's a recent discussion, and
mm-hmm.
it really struck me
mm-hmm.
that there is, in fact, a demographic, there is a feeling by
yep.
some of a demographic distinction between South Hingham and North Hingham. Now my office happens to be in South Hingham. So perhaps we need to engage South Hingham
mm-hmm.
more intensely. So I'm just saying that's an observation
mm-hmm.
that... I'm going to wear out soon because I just heard my battery's low.
Okay. Perfect time.
I think that's where some of the neighborhood outreach can
mm-hmm.
come into play. The Farm Hills Association is
mm-hmm.
quite large and active in South Hingham. And then there's the Liberty Pole Association
so
as well.
We're glad to sponsor one of these outreach meetings wherever it's convenient for somebody to show up. Because I don't want us to get trapped in our planning process.
Mm-hmm.
I live as far north from Hingham without drowning as you can get. So I'd like to engage those folks so they have the opportunity to feel that they participate.
So when you say you're willing,
very striking comment
oh,
to me.
Oh,
yeah.
So you when you say you're willing to sort of host, you mean in your office?
I don't know. I mean,
oh.
the office we can. But wherever would be convenient for them.
I see.
You know, if we have to rent a space, fine, I'll do it. But I just want you all to understand, I found that a very striking comment.
Mm-hmm, I would. We ran into this in Lincoln. You
so
might think that everybody in Lincoln
point.
Is the same, and they're
doesn't
not.
I mean, it's accurate, though.
I understand that.
Real selectmen live in South Hingham.
Oh, we're screwed.
When I worked on the Lincoln Comprehensive Plan 10 years ago, we had a very similar issue. Route 2 kind of splices the top part of Lincoln, and the people who live up on that part of town feel like they're not part of Lincoln at all. And it was striking to me. I thought, everybody in Lincoln must feel connected, right, because it's a small town. Oh, no. So I would say if you know you've got these target geographic areas, it's important to figure out how to accommodate those. And, you know,
well, I just think...
If for defense, if no other reason.
Right. I mean, we don't want to be accused. So maybe Paul has some context.
It's a lament that I've heard for years.
Yeah, really, I'm sure you have.
True, but I've heard it continuously. They're engaged at all levels of government. They attend the meeting.
I understand, but they won't be able to say it with us.
So this begs the question of saying that there are a number of neighborhoods in Hingham, South Hingham, Conservatory Park, Hamilton. What is the plan for somehow engaging on a neighborhood basis? How do you do that?
I think if you live in a neighborhood that has sort of a defined neighborhood identity, and you can say, I'll take this neighborhood, and we'll have a meeting at my house or something, I think that that's fine. We don't have a formal plan for covering every neighborhood. I guess I have to really turn to you folks and say,
So in the engagement plan, we have a list of the neighborhood groups.
Right.
So they would be receiving flyers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's like the minimal amount of...
But I think that's a box that needs to be checked. I think we need to have the distinctive neighborhoods in camp. We need to have meetings in these neighborhoods.
I think that's fine.
Well, or at least invite them to host a meeting. Yes. It's on them if they want to or not, right?
Yeah, but that's what we did in Dedham.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be more even... Just do something and have a meeting. If no one shows up, then it's...
Right, Bryce echoed my ears about aspirational, from a bandwidth perspective. But I totally agree that we need a neighborhood strategy of sorts.
Right.
Well, we have to be inclusive in the process so that when they do point at us and say we didn't include them, we can say, why weren't you there?
Right.
Because we invited you.
Right. If you didn't come to November 20th, you were invited to something else. And so... You know, I would certainly encourage you to do that. I mean, I had forgotten, thank you for reminding me that there is that list of the neighborhood groups in there. So use that as a base of information and kind of planning that
and
strategy.
Definitely they will be invited to the sessions, organized sessions.
So I need to jump in with something else before I forget.
I have 1.5 other things too, and then we're done.
Okay. So for events like the farmer's market, we're not going to give you, or we're not going to suggest that you use this. I was going to give you boards. Some of you may have seen this in other communities, where instead of having people, because if they come to a farmer's market, it's hard to stand there and write stuff down. So we would have some display boards and some post-it notes where people are being asked the same questions that they're going to be asked at the visioning meetings or in your meeting in a box, and they can write down their answers on post-it notes and stick them up on the board. So what we don't really get from that is kind of the prioritization, but you'll get feedback from people, and people will talk to you too. When they're writing down their answer, I guarantee you, they will talk to you. But it's another way to get feedback, and it's more conducive to that type of event where people are coming, buying their groceries, leaving, or whatever. They can just write something down, put it on the board, and leave.
And also, there can be a flyer that explains the master planning process with the website address if it's before a forum, an invitation to the forum.
Right.
So it's kind of a two-way. It should always be two-way.
You know this needs to happen quickly because the farmer's market stops functioning in 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
I understand. I know. We just couldn't do this until the...
Right. So that was my half thing, was how to handle something like farmer's market.
Yep.
If we get these materials next week, if anybody wants to join me, I will look at the long-range forecast.
Yeah.
And October 26th is looking fair. I'm going to go to the farmer's market on the 26th with this stuff if anybody wants to join me.
People from Weymouth and Hull who might want to leave their opinions too, unless you have some way of determining that they are Hingham residents.
Yeah,
well, you ask them first. You ask
only so much you can do.
Yeah.
But
or I'll risk it.
Well, you invite them. You ask
it is,
them.
The population is lower this time of year, of course, than it is in peak summer. But I think we'll try it out and see how it goes.
And there's also Whole Foods, in the lobby, and when it gets rainy.
I will join you at the farmer's market.
What's that?
Could anything be ready to present by this weekend? Is
starts. This weekend? Oh, no.
We need the logo.
No, we're gone for the next 2 days. Yeah. We need to get the logo done.
So,
this is the next
arts
week.
Would have been a good one. You're right.
It's a next week thing for us. I'm sorry. But that's just what we have to do.
Right. We'll keep an eye out for those other things like that that are coming up. So, small bit of housekeeping. As a public committee, we do have to have minutes that we have to approve in a certain period of time. In front of you is a pretty high-level set of minutes from our first meeting. They summarize the conversation. We'll do this each time. You'll get them in advance sooner than you did this time. I've been through them. There's nothing objectionable in there from my perspective, but if you want to take a moment to look at it before voting, that would be great. But if we wait until the next meeting,
approval of the minutes for September 18th.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
So I think that's it, unless anybody has any other items in business. Thank you all very much. I think this was a very productive conversation.
Very helpful to
Safe
us.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
And we'll all be in touch. Largely through Mary.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, everyone. So, hope the storm doesn't come.
Aye.
Or I hope we get out.